With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The state has released investigative material in a shootout with police that killed a man just outside of Rhinelander in January. A caution to listeners, this story does include the sound of gunfire. 33-year-old Stephen Kincaid died in the incident. The Oneida County District Attorney, Jillian Pfeiffer, previously issued a decision that no charges would be filed against law enforcement personnel involved. Police had responded to a home on River Road after a couple of hang-up 911 calls. Reports show a male voice yelling in the background of the calls. Police outside the home eventually told officers who was inside, and officers learned there were active warrants for both people. The reports show police went into the home and Kincaid fired on them as they were going up the stairs to the second floor. Audio from a body camera worn by one of the officers captured the chaotic scene.
Sheriff's office, show me your hand!
You okay? Yeah.
20 wounded, shots fired, shots fired! Come out now!
Officers retreated from the building after one returned fire. Reports say Kincaid then let police know from a second-story window that he had a double-barreled shotgun and additional rounds of ammunition and that he would not be going back with them. Not long after that, additional gunfire resulted in Kincaid's death. A bipartisan bill signed into law last week by Governor Tony Evers is meant to help communities identify the risk for catastrophic flooding and put measures in place to prevent it. WXPR's Katie Thorson shares what flood resiliency might look like.
A new law will require Wisconsin's Emergency Management Division to create and administer a pre-disaster flood resilience grant program. The two different grant programs will help local governments map their flood risks and improve their flooding resiliency. Ron Grasshoff calls it encouraging. He's a DNR retiree and volunteers with Wisconsin's Green Fire on the conservation group's Wetlands and Waterways work group, among others. Grasshoff says things like climate change, building infrastructure over the years, and legacy land uses like agriculture and logging can all increase the risk of flooding.
Basically, It's the loss of connectivity between streams and rivers and their adjacent floodplains.
Grasshoff gave examples of what natural flood management might look like. They include road stream crossings that simulate natural flows and reconnect streams to their floodplains, restoring wetlands and floodplains, and farming practices that improve soil health and promote continuous land cover. Wetland advocates have been praising the new law for its benefits to both communities and the environment.
Wetlands in general, whether they be isolated or whether they can be connected with our wetlands and waterways, they have a number of functional values in terms of water quality, fish and wildlife habitat, natural scenic beauty, groundwater function. So those are all important functions that wetlands and that provide in the natural environment, and in basically reducing the risk from floods to the human environment by these kind of restorative measures, obviously is going to have values overall to the quality of the natural environment.
In the last 10 years, Wisconsin reported roughly $365 million in property damage from flooding. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed a Republican bill Tuesday that would have created grants to fight pollution from so-called forever chemicals. The Democratic Evers also took the unusual step of calling the Republican-controlled Budget Committee into meeting to approve spending $125 million to deal with contamination. Evers and Republicans have not been able to agree on the best way to combat pollution from PFAS. These chemicals have polluted groundwater in communities across the state. Evers and Republicans both say that fighting the chemicals is a priority, but they haven't been able to come together on what to do about it. Bears are making their way out of hibernation, and the DNR wants you to stay safe. Black bears may look for an easy meal around your house or in your trash during the springtime. They should be very active in the coming weeks. Bird feeders are a frequent target of hungry bears. The DNR recommends pulling bird feeders from your yard for the time being. Danny Demme is an assistant large carnivore specialist with the DNR.
Bear normal behavior that we like to see and recreate and things like that. Never corner a bear. Just do your best to try and scare it away with as much noise as possible. And again, just remaining vigilant and keeping big and vocal will definitely scare the bear away.
Bears will remember places with food and keep coming back, so it's important to take steps to not attract them in the first place. The story is courtesy of WAOW Television. The CDC says 1 in 36 children around the U.S. has autism spectrum disorder. Rates are much higher than a decade ago, and support organizations hope Wisconsin communities do more to make individuals feel welcome. That includes adults on the spectrum. Mike Moen reports.
April is Autism Acceptance Month. Not only do advocates want to empower those with a diagnosis to live their fullest possible lives, but they also ask those around them to learn more about it. Katie Hess of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin says there are some key practices to keep in mind.
Really what we're looking for is for people just to be open-minded and patient and understanding.
And that acceptance doesn't happen only at home or school. Workplaces also are encouraged to foster more inclusiveness, with nearly 60% of people with autism now employed after receiving vocational services. Their advocates say these individuals have many strengths, and asking them about their needs creates a better environment for them. I'm Mike Moen.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.